John Carlos already mentioned that it was a beautiful day, and I would like to start by talking about beauty. Today really was a beautiful day. In terms of a perfect day, weather-wise, to me, today was the perfect day. This is exactly perfect. If every day could be like this 365 days a year, that'd be great. What are some of the most beautiful things that you've ever seen? What are the things that you say, wow, that's really beautiful? I was in Peru once and flying along the coast, and we were above the clouds, and off to my right were the Andes Mountains coming up out above the clouds and then going back. That, I think, was the most beautiful physical thing I've ever seen. It just took my breath away. I couldn't stop looking at how beautiful it was. And it did something to me. And I'm curious if beauty does this to you. It causes me to be bewildered at his awesomeness. There seems to be a connection to God through beauty, right? Even for people that don't believe in God at all, in the way that we see God as a person who created the universe, even if they don't believe in God at all, or if you don't believe in God at all, you still have this sense of, wait a minute, that beauty means there's something big, there's something more awesome than me. This morning we had a beautiful event. I've lived in Bloomfield for a while. My girls went to Bloomfield High School, and there was a kid there named Mike Astorino, and he was a pain in my side. He did some things to my girls that weren't so nice, and he led one of mine. He kept leading her astray, and he was one of those guys that you were sure was going to end up in prison one day. And this morning, Mike and his older brother, Sam, who have both come to Christ in the last couple of years, Sam just in the last 8 months, we had a baby dedication where they committed to raising their children the way that God says. And the beauty was that as we showed the slides of their children, they started crying. And these are guys that are tough guys, everything's a joke kind of guys, who they've been changed in a really huge, awesome way. That's another kind of beauty, right? It's a beauty, I think, that's higher than the Andes Mountain beauty. Like when we see that beauty, it does something to our hearts that's stronger. Matter of fact, that's kind of an interesting idea. You know how they say beauty is in the eye of the beholder? What do you think about this? Is beauty, does that really happen in our eyes? Or does it happen in our hearts? In other words, do we see beauty with our eyes? Or is it really our hearts that are impacted by that? And that there's different types of beauty that really impact the core of who we are. Well, you've been working through a series called Experiencing God. And the Bible says that God is beautiful. But outside of creation, it's kind of an odd, it's hard to grab a hold of. Unless you begin to interact with his holiness. At that level, it's not easy to grab a hold of. Holiness is, again, it's an odd one to grab a hold of. So let's define it a little bit. Holiness is the ability to love people who don't deserve to be loved. Beauty is the ability to be gracious to people who are unmerciful. Beauty is the ability to sacrifice. And from that sacrifice, to bring protection and goodness into somebody else's life. It's love, it's joy, it's peace, it's long-suffering. It's faithfulness. Not a word we use a lot. Faithfulness means I can count on you that you will never, ever stab me in the back. Faithfulness means that no matter how unfaithful you are to me, I will always be faithful to you. It's what we really desire in our friends. If we had faithfulness, we wouldn't have to fear in relationships. That's real beauty. So go back to the times you've experienced beauty. Don't you wish it could last forever? Don't you wish? The wholeness, the grandness, the goodness that you experienced when you watched even physical beauty. You ever watched a sunset and said, oh, just stop right here. I want this. I want it to last. If we could experience God and we could experience His holiness, it would last. Because He lasts forever and He is faithful. So how do you try to experience holiness? Like, what's your plan? In simple terms, what's your plan to become those things we talked about? To be full of love and joy and peace and long-suffering. To be kind. To be faithful. What do you do? Are you working on a plan now? Let's go into a couple of possible situations. One on the side of life as it hits you. Before we go there, do you think of yourself as a beautiful person? I don't mean physically. A number of you really are beautiful. You really are. I didn't say everybody, but a number of you really are. but I'm not talking about that. Because it's not going to last, right? On the inside, do you look in the mirror and catch yourself look where you look in your eye and go, man, you really have a beautiful heart. You really are beautiful. Or do you have a different experience? Is there guilt or shame? A disappointment that, man, you know what the standard is and you just... The realization that when you see other people act the way you do, it just makes you furious. But when you look in the mirror, you realize that I do that too. How do you try to change that? How do you try to become beautiful? How do you try to experience holiness? Let me give out a couple of possibilities. One is prayer. But this prayer goes something like this. Lord, I'm angry, and I don't want to be angry, so help me not to be angry. Lord, I'm really jealous right now. So God, help me not to be jealous. I need peace. Help me to be at peace. And depending upon your success at getting God to do what you want to do, even if you got him to do exactly what you want him to do, it never lasts. Why not? Because you ask him to help you not to be angry, and he answered, and for that little while, you weren't angry anymore. But there's more coming, right? Well, there's a lot more coming. How about on the side of temptation? And we're talking about beauty. We're not talking about good enough. We're not talking about, look what everybody else is doing. We're talking about beauty. When you approach temptation, men, when you walk by a woman and you look at her not as a person, but just as body parts that pleases you, and it doesn't even really please you, it just pleases your body parts. And just for a little while. What do you do about that? Or if it's grown to where you struggle. So you look at things, but you shouldn't, and you promise yourself you won't. But you go back to it. Or the temptation to gossip, or the temptation of pride. That you walk into your office every day and you just want everyone to see how great you are and what you deserve. What do you do with that? Do you try the pray thing with that too? Because it does work sometimes, but only for a period of time. Have you ever tried going, you know what, I'm going to see what the Bible says about that, and you look it up, and you find a verse that says exactly what the Bible says about that, and you are re-energized, and you are going to go and do what the Bible says, because you're that kind of person, aren't you? You're a Bible believer, right? You're going to do what it says. I do that a lot. Done that my whole life. But the problem I've run into is that if I'm angry because I know there's something I need to do and I cannot do it, and then God tells me, no, I told you that's how you should do it. Now, I'm not just angry at them and me. I'm angry at God. Because God asks us to do really hard things. In relationships, like when we get married, man, he's tough. Like, he's tough. I don't know if you ever read the passages about once you get married, what he expects. It's tough. You know those work relationships you have, and you have that bad boss, and you feel justified for the way you feel? Yeah, the Bible talks about passages about slaves. Yeah. Tough. So going and finding out what the Bible says, if you run into a tough enough situation, and you will, doesn't make you beautiful. It makes you mad. Or ugly. Because you can't do it. I'm going to run three questions by you tonight for you to ask. And there's a passage I want us to look at, If I get emotional as we work through it, I've had kind of a crazy week. And as I was working through this afternoon, it just kind of hit me in a hard way. So you never know what's going to happen. It's kind of like I'm having my conversation with God and you don't know it, but you're sitting there watching me. You're like, you know, what's going on with that guy? This is what it says. It's in Galatians chapter 2 and verse 20. And Paul's writing to the Galatians, and he makes the statement. I have been crucified with Christ. Is that true for you? Like when you look in the mirror, who do you see? I have been crucified with Christ. For me, that means that the kid who used to pick on Billy Goodrich at school until he cried. Sometimes he would act like a maniac and we would just laugh at him. The guy's dead. He's been crucified. That means the guy who in high school told Lori that he loved her. And then he took advantage of her physically. I hurt my parents really bad. I hurt her dad really bad. I was a leader who said they followed Jesus in my high school. I was outspoken on my football team. That guy's dead. He's been crucified. That means the guy who can't seem to just love people. The guy who takes himself way too serious. Who God just wants to use me to just communicate his beauty. But I'm so hung up on people liking me, and I'm so hung up on legacy and things that you really care about when you're 50 and you don't realize it. That guy's dead. I have been crucified with Christ. He says, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. Ugliness is when you ask Jesus to be a part of your dead life. Ugliness is when you wake up and you look in the mirror and you see yourself as being the person who was born by your parents, raised by your parents, and who has this dream for life. And you want Jesus to come help you with it. You want Jesus to come, and you don't want him to put you to death. You want him to make you a little bit better. Just a little bit better. Beauty is when you can ask this question. Who am I? Who am I? And the Bible says, you have been crucified with Christ. You no longer live. The person that you looked in the mirror and you didn't see beauty, you saw ugly. They've been crucified. And now Jesus lives in me. Who am I? If you look in the mirror and you see what Jesus says is true and you see what the Bible says is true about someone who puts their faith in Christ, it's Jesus. That's who you see. All of the joy, all of the love, all the peace, all the grace, all the faithfulness lives in you. Who am I? When you face the world, and when you face yourself, and when you face temptation, and when you face life, I wonder if you ask that question first before anything else. And you answered it, I am crucified. I no longer live. But Jesus lives in me. Who am I? The Bible says I'm holy. It says I'm a partaker of the divine nature. It says I'm his child. It's just on and on and on it goes. I wonder if you would experience holiness. Because you'd experience Jesus. There's a second question I'd throw out to you. And the second question is, what do I really want? There's a passage in Romans 7:22, I think it is, and it says that Paul says he's struggling. He's really struggling with sin. He's struggling. He doesn't do what he wants to do. And he's looking in the mirror and he goes, oh my goodness, how can it be that I've been crucified with Christ and I don't seem to be able to do the right thing. I keep doing the wrong thing. And he says, I know this. I know every time I want to do the right thing, evil is right there with me. But in my inner man, I love God's law. That's true for every believer. It is amazing holiness when you reached out and you said, Jesus, you can have my heart. And when he touched it, he changed it. And he says, what do you really want? You really want exactly what he wants. That's what you want. That'd be a great question to try. The third one's kind of practical. If you ask, who am I? And you discover, I've been crucified with Christ. I no longer live. I know the list better than you know the list. And you know the list better than I know the list of the things you've done in your life. And continue to do. That scream that you're ugly. It's all been crucified. It no longer lives. But if you choose to live in it, in other words, if you choose to answer the question, who am I? And you say, I just want Jesus to come help me improve my life. You're not dead, but you'll live like you're dead. It's just empty. It's just ugly. The third question is this. Jesus, what do you want? And to find that, you have to go to the Bible. And after you ask those two questions, you're gonna find that there's a battle. There's gonna be a battle between who you used to be, screaming for dominance, screaming to be recognized, screaming, "No, I haven't been crucified. Can't you hear me? Can't you see me?" And what Jesus says. And as all experiences with Jesus, they all come down to this: can he be believed? Can he be trusted that he truly crucified you and he lives within inside you? Matter of fact, the passage says that. It says, "The life I live in the body," that's us now, "I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me." In other words, the life I live in the body right now, I live believing that what Jesus has done to me and what Jesus says about me is true. And then you experience holiness. That's it. Who are you? It's too good to be true. Who are you? Man, my day-to-day experience does not say what Jesus says. Until I choose to believe. Until I'm in the middle of that conversation with my wife, and there's ugliness, screaming, get revenge, win the argument. And I ask, who am I? I'm crucified and Jesus is alive in me. And what do I want? I want to be Jesus to her. And I want to sacrifice. And I want to be faithful. Because that's who I am. That's what he said. This week, as you approach life, maybe try this, huh? Stop praying for God to change you. He already changed you. Stop praying to become better. And try asking, and wait a minute, in this situation, who am I? And maybe carry this verse around with you. It's Galatians chapter 2, verse 22, I think. And maybe read it to be reminded. That you're more beautiful than the Andes Mountains. That you're more beautiful than any sunset. Jesus lives in you. Let's pray. Lord, I pray for us together. To ask these questions of ourselves honestly. And to, I guess, wrestle with you about whether or not what you say is true. Lord, I know it's true. I've seen it happen. I've seen lives changed dramatically once they stop trying to be better people and once they stop inviting you into their life and started believing that they've been crucified and understood they don't, that old life is not theirs, it's just their enemy. So I pray that that for at least 10 people, Lord, who are here tonight, that by Wednesday, they're amazed at what it means to experience the holiness of God. What it means to experience that they've been changed, and no one can reverse that. What it means to believe you. And this incredible, amazing promise you've made to them. In Jesus' name, amen.